WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. For years, my guest has been asking the same question that Hillary Rodham Clinton is trying to answer now. How can we best reform America's healthcare system? But my guest, Mark Roberts, wonders if Clinton's task force will have the political will to do what needs to be done. Roberts advocates universal health insurance, one system that everyone would belong to, that would establish a single payer for all health care and do away with much of the current health insurance industry. The Clinton task force is heading in the direction of managed competition between different health plans. Roberts is a professor of political economy and health policy at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government. Most people seem to agree that a new system should give everyone access to basic health care. I asked Roberts what is meant by basic health care.
Well, I think it's easier to say what's not in basic health care than to list everything that is in basic health care. What's not, I think, in basic health care is surgery when you're 82 years old for malignancy and bowel obstruction, and you've been operated on four times already, and it's highly unlikely that you'll survive yet another surgical encounter. That kind of thing, where we spend a great deal of money on people whose lives are clearly almost over, I think it should not be part of basic health care. In the United States, we have this neurosis. We seem to think death is avoidable, and we spend a lot of money trying to avoid it when we really shouldn't. One thing that would be in basic health care is routine access to a competent family physician or general practitioner for routine care of normal medical problems, like the complications of diabetes or hypertension, so that we'd try to shift our resources much more into paying for everyday things and leave the really exotic stuff for which there's relatively low payout, leave that out of a basic healthcare system. The one thing we have to understand is we cannot afford as a country to do everything for everybody that some brilliant young medical scientist somewhere has invented. We have some of the smartest people in America developing new medical technology, and they develop new things all the time. And simply because we can do it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to afford to do it for everybody.
I think the concerns many of us have about health insurance is choice. You know, for instance, the way it stands now, some HMOs, you know, you can't really choose your doctor. You have to select from a certain list of doctors that are affiliated with the plan. How much choice do you think there should be in a healthcare system?
I actually think there should be a lot of choice, and I think choice is an important value. And that's one reason why, if we had a single unified government-financed insurance scheme, I think we'd be better off. The kinds of ideas that are being talked about in Washington these days with regard to managed competition actually would often wind up limiting people's choice. The advantage of a single universal system is that a patient can essentially go anywhere he or she wants. You pick the doctor you want, you pick the hospital you want, you go where you want. And if there's a single comprehensive system, all the physicians are included in a single pool and all the patients are included in a single pool. A universal system does not mean government provision of care. It really means just government financing of care, and we continue to have the private practice of medicine. If you do go to some sort of managed competition system, then what you're essentially doing is creating a set of competing HMOs. And each one of these vertically integrated healthcare systems would have only a limited set of physicians and hospitals that would be part of their system. And a customer would have to choose among one of a limited set of mutually exclusive doctors. And if a given group failed to qualify in a given year, that is, if one of these vertically integrated systems no longer was part of the comprehensive plan, you'd have to switch doctors. Or if your employer switched insurance plans, you would have to switch physicians. And I think Americans really don't want to be coerced with regard to their choice of providers. And the only way to really do that is to have a single comprehensive insurance system.
The president's task force on national health care seems to be heading toward managed competition.
Yeah, that's everybody who is reading the tea leaves is coming to that conclusion. It's watching the task force now is a little like what used to be called Kremlinology. You know, you see who sits next to whom and who walks into the meetings out with whom in order to assess the relative importance of different factions. But that's what I hear.
If we were working in a managed competition system and I were unemployed, would it be any easier for me to get health insurance?
Well, that's one of the interesting questions, because one of the things we know about people who are currently uninsured is that they tend to move in and out of employment status a lot. They're marginal. You know, they work a couple months in a fast food enterprise, and then they're unemployed for a while, and then maybe in the wintertime they work on a ski lift, and then they're unemployed, and then maybe they work on a fishing boat. They move around a lot. And so one of the problems any managed competition system has to deal with is, what provision do you make as people move into and out of various statuses? Do you have to change which plan they're in? Because if you have a special plan for the uninsured or a different deal for the uninsured than you do for people in marginal enterprises, how do you keep track of all that? Again, more paperwork. On the other hand, if you have a single universal system, I have my card and I need care and I pick my doctor in my hospital and I go get care. And you're out of this terrible administrative burden of having to track everybody who every time they change employment status.
My guest is Mark Roberts, a professor of political economy and health policy at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Mark Roberts. Let's look at some of the problems with our health care system today. Insurance premiums have gone up so high. And if you're unemployed and you're trying to independently buy insurance, well, you're kind of in trouble. How did premiums get to be so high? Why are they so out of control?
Actually, it's a question I now feel personally, since my eldest daughter was this summer unemployed and I needed to get health insurance for her. So I really have an extreme personal appreciation of this that my academic understanding didn't extend to until recently. It's amazing how high premiums have gone. And the reason in part is that health insurance companies pool risks. And yet, in fact, healthcare is not really an insurable risk. We use an insurance mechanism, but it's really not insurable in the following sense. Insurance is there for unanticipated bad events. You get hit by lightning. The problem is, most people know whether or not they're more likely than average to be sick next year. How do I know if I'm going to be sick next year? Answer, if I'm already sick. If I already have an existing chronic condition, diabetes, hypertension, cancer, HIV, whatever. So that the people who aggressively pursue purchasing insurance tend to be disproportionately people who know they need it. They know they're sick. When the insurance company pools all these self-selected individuals together into a risk pool for the purposes of setting a rate, the individual insurance pool, that pool turns out to be very sick because it's been self-selected in just that way. And so the rate you have to charge anyone who wants to get into that pool is extraordinarily high. As a result, everybody who feels they're pretty healthy and that they can get away probably without insurance because they're unlikely to be sick, those people decide not to buy insurance because it's a bad deal for them. So the average degree of illness in the pool only gets worse. This is called in health insurance the adverse selection death spiral, a rather nice term. And what is going on all across America is healthy people, again, in the jargon of the industry, are going bare. They're going without insurance. The people who are buying insurance are sick people, and the costs of their care are relatively high.
What are some of the alternatives around that?
Well, I really think that the only alternative is to essentially move away from an insurance basis for financing care. Insurance is a very odd scheme because it says, at best, everybody pays the same, rich and poor. The United States is the only country in the world that tries to finance health care in a way that pays no attention to individual income. Every other industrial country in the world finances it heavily out of the tax base, a payroll tax or some other way, that pays attention to how much money people have. In England, when Margaret Thatcher tried to finance basic local services on the basis of a tax that was the same for everybody, a head tax, she got thrown out as the leader of the Conservative Party in England because it was seen as so inequitable. Well, in the United States, an insurance premium-based system is financing health care on the basis of a head tax. And the alternative is to finance it on the basis of something that responds to people's income level, some sort of a payroll tax instead. And that way, poor people who can't afford insurance premiums equal to the expected cost of their care get subsidized. And that's only possible if you move to a universal system.
If we were to have a universal health care system like you're proposing, we'd need to raise more money to support it. One way to get some money is the payroll tax, which you're suggesting. The President's Task Force on National Health Care Reform seems to be looking seriously at taxes on alcohol, cigarettes, possibly taxes on guns. What do you think of that form of raising money?
Well, I'm all in favor of these so-called sin taxes, but I doubt when you do the arithmetic that they can actually raise the amount of money that's needed. Notice under a universal health plan, you would raise taxes, but on the other hand, you would do away with the current tax of health insurance premiums. If you've looked at your paycheck recently and you've seen how much of your paycheck goes to pay for your health insurance benefits, you'd see that there's a pretty substantial trade-off that's possible there by trading in the current amounts you pay in return for contributing in a payroll tax. These so-called sin taxes, by the way, I should say I think the president has made a factual error here. He said that cigarettes raise the costs of the healthcare system, and I know it's unfashionable given for somebody who comes in part from a public health background to say this. But the actual fact of the matter is that healthcare costs would go up if everybody stopped smoking. At least that's what my own estimates suggest. And the reason is that, in fact, cigarettes kill you, and they tend to kill you at that point in your life, your early 60s, when you're beginning to become burdensome to the healthcare system. And the deaths that cigarettes cause, including lung cancer, are often relatively inexpensive deaths. Actually, I've urged the tobacco industry to start a campaign in this way. Support cigarette smoking. It contains health care costs by killing people. So it's not obvious that if everybody stopped smoking, health care costs would go down. I still am in favor of the sin taxes, not because it will lower costs, but because it will save lives. I think we have to focus on the benefit side of this equation, not on the cost side of the equation.
You predict chaos in the future. Why are you so pessimistic?
Well, I think that we're going to get a health care plan. I'm not sure about this. Yogi Berra said, never make predictions, especially not about the future. But I'm afraid that the current round of health care reform will produce a relatively incoherent incremental set of changes which will not, in fact, address the underlying problems, and that the result of this will be continued rapid increase in healthcare costs, a continued decrease in coverage so that more Americans are uninsured and more Americans are incompletely insured, and that it will only be after the failure of the current round of reform is obvious in 5 or 6 years, that we then come back around to trying to get universal coverage. And it seems to me some of the people I talk to in Washington say to me that they agree that really a universal payroll tax finance system is the way to go, but they don't think they have the political support to do that, so that, you know, in the spirit of the great is the enemy of the good, they're going to try to establish universal coverage now, and even if they do it in a structurally and financially incoherent way, they'll establish the principle and hope to fix it up later. Well, the difficulty with that is that the American public's faith in government, it seems to me, is not particularly high. And to embark on a plan which, in your heart, you're really pretty doubtful is going to work, runs the risk of only increasing the cynicism of the American public about the capacity of government to solve problems. And if we really do know what to do, then I think we ought to take the risk now of trying to actually do the right thing. Indeed, if I were an industrial leader and I thought about all the hassles that health insurance had caused me in recent years, I mean, health care is now the leading cause of strikes in the United States because health care costs, the premiums we were talking about, are rising so fast that they're sopping up all the money corporations have available to give to wage increases, and it's really created a lot of union management difficulty. If I were a businessman, I would be really enthusiastic about a universal system. Think about having this incredible pain in the neck be somebody else's responsibility and not have to worry about it anymore. So I think that despite the political wisdom which says even with the trade-in for decreased health insurance premiums, Americans will not confront new taxes. That's impossible. The administration can't put forward a universal plan. People are too suspicious of government. All the arguments against doing the right thing, which are political, I think that with enough leadership, we might actually be able to do the right thing.
Mark Roberts is a professor of political economy and health policy at the Harvard School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government. This is Fresh Air.